Welcome back to the Challenge Final Reckoning Wrap-Up Podcast for episode 14. I am Brian Cohn. Hear me, as always, is my co-host, Ali Lesher. Ali, how are you?
Are you asking me how my podcast persona is doing or how I'm really doing off air? I'm doing great.
Just in general.
I'm doing not as good as last week, I will say, but I'm doing okay. How about you?
I'm doing okay. Yankees lost last night, which was quite disappointing, so I'm getting over that. But, you know, life moves on, and so does the challenge as we're headed down the home stretch.
I have about as much sympathy for you at the Yankees as I did when Cara's crying about Marie being treated poorly.
Hey, if Cara and Marie can come together, then anything is possible.
I don't buy that in the slightest, but we can talk about that another time.
Yep.
First things first, which has become, like, I guess a new segment, is to talk about the episode name of the challenge.
Yes.
Did you catch it?
What is it?
It was Lavender is the New Black, which I feel like is a top five episode title.
Yes, and normally, like, you know, top five is not that much, but there's a lot of episodes, so that is very good. So it is top five.
I'm giving it, like, top third. It's roughly top third.
No, very good. It's almost like they were waiting, because they could almost use that title for almost anything for the last, like, month with how much the Lavender Ladies has been apart. So I think they were really waiting for the right episode to drop that one, and solid choice.
Let's catch up with the drinking game. So Kyle Picard, I think Dane's dropped out, right? He's fired.
Yeah. I'm surprised he lasted as long as he did.
So Kyle Picard is the official and sole chief party officer. Thank you, Kyle, for staying with us. And I pulled what Kyle gave points. We got a lot of points this week. So we had discolored booze. We had TJ politely insulting someone. That must have been Marie's with the cigarettes and alcohol,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think so.
Sympathy or whatever.
Yeah.
A security appearance.
Yes, we did.
Date night TJ. I was like, what the hell is that? Now I remember. That's like, yeah, you do. I feel like TJ, now that we've like exposed it, now that I'm watching it, it's like TJ shows up for his business meeting dressed well, and then he shows up for his like reckless sports meetings, you know, like the meetings, like he's got the like work look and the after hours look.
Right.
So date night TJ, aka boardroom TJ. And then, we have a cut to a confessional for an explanation, and see a non-challenge Under Armour was two drinks, and TJ not wearing a hat also coincided with date night TJ. He also wore a beanie at the final. We had a hat, we had a beanie, we had no hat.
Yeah, I think he
possibly the most exciting one of the season.
All different looks. He's mixed up the wardrobe on us.
Yeah, gave us all of his classic looks in one episode. But do you have something to add this week?
Yeah, so the one I thought of was basically anytime someone mentions how a certain move in the game is going to affect their relationship outside of the game with that person.
We already have
that
one.
A lot of that. Do we?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my God. Thank God. Otherwise, I would have been drawing dead. So yes, that is mine.
We also had one dub in for TJ under Dane rules. That's a good one. That's a really good one. And probably going to be even more topical or even more triggered as the next few episodes go on.
Yes.
This kind of seems like low-hanging fruit this episode. I wish I did it when CT did it, but I'm going to say like when somebody is trying to like sabotage someone else in the challenge. So call outs like the colors, call outs like CT was calling things out. And then also, I think when Nelson, and I have it in my notes when it's appropriate, I think Bananas and Tony run in and someone shouts like, wrong way.
I do like.
Which I thought was pretty funny.
So is it like sabotaging someone else? Or what if they're sabotaging themselves? Like when Shane did it, does that count?
No, that's throwing a challenge. Okay. That's up for something else. Right. This is like a vocal call. Even in a, I thought about like doing their inverse, like doing when somebody's like trying to help someone. So when you basically Bananas comes up with a strategy for an elimination he's not in. But I think this is more fun.
Okay. I'm in for it. All right. I think those are solid too. How many do we have now? Do we really have two in episodes? So do we have like 28 things?
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So Kyle gave us both credit for a TJ wardrobe one last week. So that would make up for the one we missed. So you have, I just counted and forgot, 5. You have 11, and I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. That'd be 22. And then Dane and Jonathan have both contributed one.
Wow. It's a solid drinking game. A lot of options.
Yeah, I was wondering when it becomes too many to keep track of. Let's leave that to the chief party officer. If Kyle, when you're watching the episode, if it's no longer fun because you're keeping track of too many things, you let us know. And I think rather we can start proposing ones to axe and replace. By a unanimous vote of the two of us,
I kind of like
we could
that.
Maybe take ones off.
Yeah. I think we should start looking to finalize them. I like that.
But I feel like in order to remove one, you have to have one that's better.
Yes. No, definitely. We don't want, we like the challenge. If you knock someone out, someone else comes back in. Well, the redemption house of drinking game ideas.
And then I'm also like, you know, we have to decide, because this is very important, obviously, but if this becomes a drinking game just for this season or if we apply it to future seasons, because that would go into the thought process of like, okay, it's unlikely that somebody is going to do a plastic surgery insult at this point in the game. I mean, never say never, but I feel like that's a more like first impression-y kind of thing.
So
I feel like that might be good moving forward, but not so great for the rest of the season.
Yeah, so my thought maybe would be like at the finale, we go through the whole list and maybe we pick like 5 to 10 that are like carryovers. And then
your keepers.
You got your keeper list and they go into next season.
Okay. I like that.
We could see where we're at.
Because like Jemmy's not here. So who's making a big deal out of a dream? That could probably go for the rest of the season. But would we want that moving forward? I mean, that's pretty Jemmy dependent. Yep.
So I think that's especially because the finale, like not like that much normally to talk about with just the final. So I think this will give us a little something to break down.
Content creators.
Yes, that's us.
So this could have been discussed off air, but it wasn't. So
everyone cares.
Tom Palmer, avid tweeter, listener of the show. And I had the exact same thought at the start of this episode. So he asked us, which was more romantic, Kyle leaving his rings behind for Kara or Zach leaving his get revenge letter for Tony?
This is great. I wonder if this has been like more of an occurrence and they're just showing it now for the last couple. Do you think anyone else has left anything behind and they just haven't shown?
Maybe because they, you know, there's been a lot more important things that they haven't shown. So I imagine that. And I think this must clear up that this was a leave behind from Kyle and not an accident, right?
Yes, it does. It does. Unfortunately, my theory goes out the window. But yes, so I guess go to more good on Kyle and a good on Zach. I wonder if he actually wrote it or if he told someone what to write and then they wrote it. Well, I would like to see the penmanship on that letter.
It's like the new note. This is the new bananas note. Yeah. Who wrote the note?
Dear bananas and Zach, when you left Karma,
what
Devin's. Put his head between a cocktail lady's breasts.
What?
That was the note that they wrote the Snooki.
Okay. Dears? This is so confusing. I meant the banana. I was taking it. Yes. You took it all the way back to vintage note. I was taking it back to prior challenge note.
Oh, the stupid bananas prick? No. When I hear the note on MTV, that's Jersey Shore.
But that was the joke. That was the joke. It was the nude who wrote the note.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we were on totally different planes there.
For a change.
Yeah.
So what do you rather get the note, the vengeance note or the leftover jewelry?
I think a note, like a little like a personal touch. You actually have to write, you don't just have to kick something off your finger and give it to someone. It gives a little personal touch.
I mean, the note, the jewelry has higher resale value.
Yeah, but it's the thought, jewelry. Not the monetary value, right? Isn't that the true mark of a romantic gift?
If it's from Zach or Kyle, I'm only caring about the resale value.
Fair enough.
All right, let's talk about TYB.
Yeah, they probably should have done something with Team Young Buck because that was the theme of this episode even more so than the Lavender Ladies. We got a lot of them. So I don't know where they could have gone with like Team Young Buck Pope. That could have been a fun one. But
I mean, to borrow that was Team the theme. Young Buck Pope. The Young Buck. Yeah, I mean, look, I feel like, to borrow from Marie's Grease reference with Danny Zuko, like, you know, Team Young Buck are the T-Birds and Lavender Ladies are the Pink Ladies. It's like such a easy analogy. They're kind of intertwined. And we learned this week that it's not an alliance. It's like a lifestyle. It's a mentality.
A lifestyle. Yep.
Where do you feel on...
You're go ahead. You are a young buck. There's no... you're in it at birth and you're in it till death.
Well, what if you age out? Can you not age out?
No, then eventually you become team like middle aged buck, and then it's team old buck.
Tob. Team old buck.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a circle of life.
Where do you fall on Team Young Buck right now?
I thought that they, once you give these people more airtime, as I thought last week, they're gonna get way more annoying just because the people are way more annoying. Especially like Corey. You give make Hunter talk a lot. That's not a good spot for him. Nelson's always teetering on the really annoying to endearing phase. So you put the three of them together and it's not their best look.
I love them. They're the new Mitch Watch, right? Like, they're obviously not in the background, but it's the same principle that if you take everything you hate about a person and choose to love it, like... I hate Hunter. I think he's not trash. Like, I think he's a garbage person. Like, I hate the way that he talks about Ashley with so much. Like,
he's not that bad. He's just garbage person.
No. I didn't mean like he's trashy. Like when somebody's like, oh, you're trash. Like, I wasn't trying to
right.
I wasn't trying to make that go there, but he is a garbage person. And, like in the way that he's controlling and is weird, but as an entity, I'm buying into it. I'm a part of the lifestyle. Give me a t-shirt. Like, I'm a cult subscriber. I like TYB. I also like how ridiculous Nelson is. Like, we'll talk about at the end of the episode with the fact that he feels like he already has an inflated ego, but the fact that TYB is actually getting traction in the house has just expanded his ego beyond what I even thought possible. And I think it's so funny because it's so unfounded.
Nelson is like the... This is like the camp version of when you would give like bracelets to like your three friends. They're like, oh, we're going to be stay friends forever. This is it all the way to the end. And then like you go home after camp and you never like talk to them ever again. This is like them. They come together these seasons. They're like the best friends ever. Then they go their separate ways and they come back again. Nelson just thinks that like they're the best friends ever. But I bet Hunter and Corey don't have any interaction with Nelson like in between seasons. It's all like in the show.
This is why you have to follow Ryder K and Cheyenne, because then you would know that Cheyenne had like some sort of baby shower for some sort of person in her life. And Nelson was there with Corey. Boom.
Really?
Boom. No sighting of Hunter, though. So I think that's fair. But I think they're legitimately friends.
I don't like when you squash my fun theories with facts. That's not what this is here for.
Keep up with Ryder K and Cheyenne. That's the only thing. You take nothing from this podcast. And what I even... What I love most about TYB is how much Kara hates them. And like, what's great about that to me is that, just like myself, Kara, I feel you on this. If she were in it, she would have TYB like tattooed on her face or like Abram on her throat. But because she's not in it, she hates it. Like, she hates the cliques because she's not a part of it. I stand the cliques. I'm here for TYB.
Yeah, her and Bananas are both mocking it, but either in the challenge, he was like, enough with the freaking TYB things. And I think for him, it's like he doesn't want anything to take away storylines about him. But he should kind of be happy about this. I think this is like better for Bananas to have like, rather than saying, oh, I'm going after Corey and Nelson and all, like, it's easier for him to be like, I'm going after Team Young Buck. It's like them versus me. Like, I think that's almost better for him as like a storyline to like be taking out a whole team.
Yeah, and I don't know that like Bananas... I still think I think Bananas has more of a perspective on his storyline in the arts than Kara ever will.
Yeah, that's probably true. He's more of the producer. Kara's like this.
I think Kara really, I think she's like annoyed by them in a real way. And she like, and you can read her, I wouldn't recommend it, but you could read her people blog. Like, she genuinely hates them. And I don't really think that that's like to craft more of the rivalry. I think it's because she genuinely hates them.
No, I think I totally agree. That's I agree.
Whereas I think Bananas can like appreciate it a little bit more. The other thing I have to say is like, what makes me sympathetic, or at least like rooting for at least sympathetic to the Lavender Ladies and TYB, is that like, this is what we prayed for, like, not denominationally, but this is what we wanted. I feel like I can't come in hot against TYB and the Lavender Ladies, even though I have, because there's 4 years or almost 5 years of podcasts where I'm just like lambasting Bananas, praying for like the rookies or the non-Bananas Alliance to get the rest together. So finally they've done it. And, you know, I can't complain.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of fun to have like a group adversary against the Bananas. Like, it's, I mean, it makes him like the most likable he's probably ever been. So it, who doesn't love a good underdog story? And this time it's Bananas and Tony as the acting as that part.
And we can't even say like that Bananas was on his own. Like, he was one of the he was one of the top three strongest teams. He's got a great partner.
Yep.
He can't believe I'm saying that about Tony now, but times have changed.
Yeah.
Brad and Kyle were his alliance. Zach and Amanda were his alliance. Like, he was with Kara. Like, he had people, he had strength, and it just, the chips didn't fall his way. He didn't outplay them, outwit them.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta give the Shane like a lot of credit for orchestrating a lot of this, considering they weren't, I mean, outside of like Amanda, most of them really weren't in any sort of power along the way, but they used, manipulated the system pretty well, and they caught a couple breaks.
There you go. We do get the story that we've been talking about all season with Devin. Were you surprised that MTV gave us the backstory openly?
A little bit, because they don't normally peek behind the curtain like that to, you know, say like, oh, I was originally on the cast and then so and so. Like, I'm sure in other seasons, people have had to back out or for a variety of reasons. So it's kind of interesting that they would give us this level of detail.
Not since CT got denied at the border did we get the backstory. But, I mean, I think it would be more expected if he came in to replace somebody who got removed. So at least you're, like, not pissed that he's rejoining the game late. I think it might still go to you not being as pissed that he's joining the game so late. I think it also serves to explain, like, he's probably going to be talking about his dad a lot, and that's his motivation. And, you know, it's a quote-unquote good, it's a horrible situation, but it's a good reality TV storyline, and Devin's a good reality TV storyteller. I'm happy they, like, gave us the open story.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely glad. I like when they treat the show as if, like, we know it's a show, and there's, like, logistical things and production issues. I like when they address it and don't just pretend like everything's smooth sailing, so I do like when they give us the little peek to show, like, what making one of these shows entails.
And as I said last week, the loss energy is strong with this one. Like, do not bet against this man out to pay respects to his father. And what I love also about this team is that the team's got, like, this, like, circle of life dad energy. Like, Corey's this new dad, and that transformed Tony from the crazy Tony to Tony time, being on time, from having no time to being the time. And so we have that Corey reformation happening, and we have Devin on the other end of the spectrum, who just lost his father, wants to pay honor to him. So this team could be unstoppable on the soft factors of that alone.
Yeah, I mean, between the two of them, they probably have the most to play for, to prove, to gain out of all this. So it's, you never know what might happen. I mean, I think at the end of the day, I think performance ability may take over, especially towards Devin's. That way we kind of saw him struggle a little bit in the athletic portion of this. We'll have to see how he can maintain it through the rest of the season, but I mean, pure motivation, like, will, they're gonna be tough to beat.
And now switching gears for a change really quick, how strong on a ranking from, like, swear to God to a handshake to, like, refusing to, I don't know, whatever, how strong is a scout's honor?
You know, because of how infrequently it's used, I feel like that's got to be near the top of, like, the honor code, right? Like, if you go, like, scout's honor, that's, like, almost like a blood oath, I feel like, in the challenge world. Like, that's, like, a big deal.
I mean, if you've never been a scout, does it matter? Like, it's like, if an atheist says, I swear to God, does it hold weight?
I don't know. I feel like when you, it's like, I feel like everyone could be a scout. Like, I don't know if you have to, like, qualify. Isn't that just something you just signed up for as, like, a kid, and you're just kind of like a scout? So I think you could just always, like, everyone's like a wannabe scout. So, like, anyone can do it. So I think, yeah, scouts honor holds.
What a great spin for the scouts that everybody's a wannabe scout. I feel like people get, you know, bullied, not rightfully so, but, like, it's like a stereotype of, like, a nerd thing. I mean, I was a brownie for 3 years. I could say it, but
yeah. But I mean, there's there's no like test, right? You have to pass to be a scout. I think it's just like your parents sign a permission slip and you're a scout.
Well, if you're an Eagle Scout, that's a big deal. But just general Scout's honor. I like this. I think this is a good strategy to take in to like, you know, pretend that you're like this intense scout to like on Survivor. And then you're like, look, Scout's honor is better than me swearing on my family. But you really just don't care about it at all.
The atheist one really put me in a pretzel, so I didn't know where to go from there, but I think I got my way out.
Brian, I am currently wearing a t-shirt that, no joke, has a pretzel on it, and I feel like, I feel weird.
Are they making you thirsty?
I think you just jumped right to the Seinfeld reference, and you didn't even sit at all for a moment in the crazy cosmic connection that I would be wearing a shirt that has a pretzel on it.
That's a question
for another day, but
my brain always jumps right to the Seinfeld reference.
Sure. All right, we should talk about the Lavender Ladies and Marie. I don't know if like now is the time, if post Redemption House, post challenge is the time. We'll choose your own adventure.
Yeah, I think this all is connected to the club thing. I think it all flows together. So I think we either all discuss it now or jump to the Redemption House challenge, and then I think we do the Redemption House challenge and then the Lavender Ladies as a whole segment.
All right, great. Turn to page 63. I feel like that's a Goosebumps book.
So I feel like the Redemption House should almost be turned into the Previously On segment, because that's basically what it now is. Like, they all, like, Previously On the Challenge, the people show up at the Redemption House and they tell them all what happened, and that's the Previously On the Challenge.
But see, what I loved about this is even with the Previously On the Challenge, I didn't really appreciate again how insane last week was until Zach explained it, like boasting about how it's like the stupidest thing ever, and he's boasting about it.
Yeah, he's like, and guys, I'm like, I did the greatest move ever. I was so prideful that I sent myself here. Look at me, I'm great.
I also forgot how great Cam's confessionals are, and I think like MTV is sort of coming into a problem where like their best confessional givers are in the Redemption House. Like, you have Cam, Kyle, sort of like Kyle gave a lot of confessionals. I don't know if they were good. Amanda, Pauly, Jose, and Davon. Amanda again.
No, I agree. And I think they caught up right with Devin being one of the people that came back, because he's usually a good narrator, a good confessional giver. So they have him now to replace some of what they lost.
I just think I noticed that Cam's confessional was so good, and I don't normally, like, her presence was so good, and I don't normally appreciate that, but it just shows what a deficit there is in the main house right now.
I mean, this is the most packed Redemption House, right? I mean, we got to be at like six teams. We're getting another one. Like, it's a full house.
People sharing beds.
Yeah.
No problem for Kyle.
Might be sleeping on the couch, some of them.
Yeah. I'd like to see the layout. What else? What did you call for? You wanted to see? Oh, the note. I want to see the layout of the Redemption House. Give me a blueprint.
Yeah.
Airbnb picks.
Give it to me. Get the reviews.
What are the amenities? All right, let's talk about the challenge.
Yeah.
Were you surprised to see the lecture from TJ about Amanda and Zach's behavior last week?
I think it was a good reminder, just again to like also reinforce how lunatic that was, and just be like, don't be like them. You don't want to become a PSA, and that's what a Zach and Amanda became.
I tricked you there because I said, let's talk about the challenge, and then slipped in a question pre-challenge. But, I mean, is anyone even at risk of this? Like, I like the scolding from TJ because I just like TJ scolding them. But, like, who's at risk of pulling a move like this, even going back to the beginning of the season, besides Zach and Amanda?
Yeah, not really. And what's funny is Zach and Amanda, like, they were always pegged. Like, we were talking about this, like, way early on. Like, this was the reckoning that was coming, because they were really the only one that was truly, like, Cara and Marie were divided, but not, like, so divided. Like, this was the true divide of a team.
My only other possibility would be, like, Hunter and Ashley, because we see Hunter, like, in defense of DYB again, Hunter, I think, had a better episode this, which is compared to almost nothing, but very low bar. He had a better episode in the sense that the way they're working together, he does like have a little bit of movement from pure hatred to like a playful teasing during the challenge, at least in the beginning. So like maybe that had some impact, and we're going to see like less of a volatile relationship. But otherwise, there's no other Amanda and Zach besides Amanda and Zach.
Like, I think the numbers are now too small and we're too close to the final that we'll get this, but it would be interesting to see if like they had to choose between a Team Young Buck team and a Team Lavender Lady team. That could have been interesting, but I don't think we're going to get that moment. I just don't think there's enough voting left for that to happen.
How crazy.
Yeah. The two battle of the super forces, Lavender Lady versus Team Young Buck, which will come out on top.
How did we get here?
I ask myself that every day.
All right, so now let's actually talk about the challenge. I won't interrupt with a non-challenge question.
Yeah, so this was a fun new version of a height challenge. I actually did like this. You basically had to run up 200 feet to the top of a building. One person is scaled, looking straight down to the ground at a puzzle, and they had to shout out the answer to the puzzle to their partner to solve it, and then they had to go down the side of the building.
I was very bored by this challenge. Like, after watching the first time, I think this challenge gets a little boring when you have to watch all of the pairs do it. At least, I mean, I never really like those kinds of challenges.
Yep.
But I also think it's interesting that this season they've been doing a lot where only one person has to do the bad part. Only one person has to eat the gross food. Only one person has to swing on the ropes. The other's the catcher. Only one person has to face the heights. I mean, I guess with the scaling down, but I think looking at the puzzle is way worse than that. Do you like that? We don't have like one person holding the other team back, or would you rather see everyone have to do it?
I do like it. I almost think it would be interesting if they had like a, not like a, you sat out this challenge, you can't say that again, but like a version of that where it's like, all right, you didn't do the hard part in this one, so you have to do it in this one. Like, it would be interesting if they spell that out where, like, if you ate the food, then the next week you don't have to do the height and vice versa.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I guess it's hard to manage, like, what's the best part or the worst. I mean, like, it's the scary part, but it did seem kind of hard to have to respond to all the colors and put the puzzle together. But yeah, no, I get what you're saying. That does make sense. Like, that Kara can't do everything for the team, right? Marie has to do one of the shittier parts of the challenge at some point.
Yeah. So that would be interesting. I do like that. Do you not like that?
I like it more when like one person clearly like doesn't want to eat and they have to, or they fully sink the team and they don't have an out, or someone's afraid of heights, so they're just like standing on the edge while the partner's like, come on, we're going to lose if you don't do this. And then they just jump off and lose. So I like that. But I get it for this format, for a Vendetta's Final Reckoning, Rival, wherever we're at format, that they want it to seem like, okay, you're doing one thing and that depends on your partner, and like you're having communication, right? And you know, you can't just muscle through it. You have to work together. So I get that concept, but you know, I do miss the person out on the edge who's terrified of heights.
Yeah. And then we also get the payoff that I think happened 2 weeks ago with Kara losing the challenge, because I did not remember that at all, that they got a penalty for this challenge where they had to the gate was locked and they had to just open the gate. Like, that was their penalty.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems ridiculous that Marie and Kara are the ones getting penalized. Like, in that sense, I preferred the grenade rather than the loser gets a penalty, because who cares about the loser if it's always the same team?
Yeah. And it also doesn't matter as much when the loser doesn't even automatically go in. Like, I know it worked out probably this way, but the penalty is more so when it's like, if you lose, you're in, as opposed to just if you win, you're safe. So not as much of a hit.
So it wouldn't be a challenge if Kara didn't have an excuse for her mediocre performance.
Ooh, good.
So at first it annoyed me, right? Because Marie screwed up the puzzle, and we can talk about that because there's some more information from the blogs that I've now been reporting on diligently. But, like, Marita's awesome on the wall, and, like, Kara can't give her any credit. So, two parts of this. Apparently, this comes from Kara's people blog. Apparently, there were two boxes of puzzle pieces at the top. Marie thought the pieces on the right were for the right side of the puzzle, and vice versa. After screaming back and forth for a few minutes, she noticed the other box of pieces. Marie actually, on her Betches Love This recap, and I'll talk about that later, said that producers told her, like, nudged her and were like, you're missing an entire box of puzzle pieces. And Kara, back to Kara, says that she's proud of Marie, but at this point, I'm thinking there's something fishy with the red rope. And it turns out that Kara claims that the rope that Marie was on, like, was a lot. It was like, you just basically plummeted to your death. and the rope that she was on was like restrained, and there was a problem with it because apparently when Joss and Sylvia went, like, Joss started just like free falling on his rope and everyone was screaming to wait for Sylvia, and he was like, I literally can't, like, I'm just on an elevator down. So whatever.
Well, there you go. I mean, was her rope, was Kara's rope similar to Devin's? Because I guess he was going super slow. I don't know.
Who is on the red rope? You gotta look for the red rope.
Gotta look for it. Who knows? Kara, though, classic excuse. It's always the equipment.
Pat Bauer says, after tonight's episode, is anyone else now shipping Nelson and Shane?
No, but you can.
I mean, it's cute that they're, you know, getting along.
Sure. Good for them. Till next season.
So I guess we could talk about the Tony and Bananas part of it. Nobody else. I mean, was there anyone else's challenge performance you really want to talk about?
Yeah. I mean, other than like Devin struggling, but I guess if that's rope dependent, then I guess you can't blame him. No one else really stood out. So yeah, the Bananas thing with everyone yelling at him, that was interesting. Interesting tactic.
Humberto wants to know, is there a more hateable alliance than the Lavender Ladies? It made me like Bananas.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is like hateable of anything. This was like, I give him credit. Like, this is, you know, you're coming together for a common goal. Like, do whatever you can. But this, of all things, is not hateable. This I give a little bit of respect towards.
I have to give a little bit of respect to Polly. I usually save his recaps for the end, but I couldn't believe that he included this in his blog, that I had to pull it. I feel like every other week I've either think that Polly is like a devoted challenge fan or has never seen an episode. So Polly said, was there a lot of jeers and distractions going on? Yes. But for all you new people watching the challenge, this is comparable to what the JEK, led by Bananas Alliance, used to do back in the day.
Who knows? Paul is an enigma. Who knows what he's like watched or hasn't watched? And it's crazy.
So for anyone who has no idea reasonably what Paulie's talking about, there is Johnny, Evan, and Kenny, who two of the three of them will never be back on the challenge, is the reference. But wow, Paulie, what a pull.
Yeah. And it's true. I mean, they definitely did these type of stuff where they would look to do whatever tactics they can to take down their opponents. So, I mean, that's why, like, I respect it. This is, I mean, of all the things you could do, like, you're not, like, causing them harm or doing anything like that. You're just yelling out things to distract them. Go for it.
Yeah, no, and I do think that that was definitely amplified by TV, because I don't think there's a chance that they were that loud all the way up at the top of the building.
But I liked
the effort.
Yeah, totally.
So Bananas and Tony in a must-win situation actually win. Do you believe, and I guess this is a stupid question, but do you believe that they really would have put Bananas and Tony in if they lost?
I would think so. I mean, they've been building towards this. Like, they've done almost everything you can. So I don't think there would be any reason why they wouldn't. I mean, otherwise you're sacrificing one of your own people going in. So I definitely think they would have.
Well, no, you'd put in like Marie and Kara, right? But like, I just think it's cool that people aren't afraid of Bananas and Tony right now.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of it has to do with, like, it's winner takes all. Like, you just can't, like, if they get to the end and you lose, then you get nothing. So you just have to take them out.
I like it. I'm here for it. I kind of wish Bananas and Tony didn't win, because I would have liked to see that elimination.
Yeah, that would have been pretty cool.
I also would have loved to see, like, the Lavender Ladies scramble on, like, who is going to take them out. I mean, like, they have very limited control, but they could split the boat and limit the amount of people that Bananas and Tony could choose from. So I would like to see them all script. I look forward to the Lavender Ladies having to turn on each other.
Yeah, which will go against the Scout's honor. So they can't have that.
Let's segue. We can't procrastinate anymore. Segue into the Lavender Ladies here. I'd like to know from your perspective, the review on how each of the three Lavender Ladies handled the Marie bomb.
So I would say, first though, when do they get cards? I thought they weren't allowed any type of distractions. When are they allowed to start playing cards and just like have like a night off? I was like more floored by that than like anything that the show has done in a while, that they actually gave them something for entertainment. But that's just my own uh, my own device. But I thought Sylvia was the worst. I think she is not good in any type of conflict. I feel like we've seen this time and time again where if anyone gets in Sylvia's face, she goes way downhill, doesn't know what to do with herself. So I thought Sylvia was quite bad. Ashley, it's hard for Ashley to do anything that bad because like her downside is so deep that she here, I thought she was actually was not that bad. I thought she was actually pretty level-headed. And Marie was just her classic Marie bad self. So
there's about Shane, Shane's a lavender lady.
Yeah, Shane was fine. I don't think Shane was really that bad. I thought Shane was actually the most calming that he's really ever been in this type of circumstance. So I would rank in terms of worst the first. I would say Sylvia worst, then Marie, then Ashley, then Shane.
Yeah, I think Shane was the best. I think his sort of like, look, I'm still your friend and I'll be your friend if you go against me, which like who knows what that would have been, but he's in the power position so he could just say whatever he wants. And he's like, my hands are tied. Like, look, like it's just, you know, he has a sympathetic tone at least. So there's nothing really Marie can get through with that. I think Ashley, you're giving her a lot of credit here. I mean, you're giving her almost no credit except saying she did a bad job. I think that's too much credit because she's the one who like approaches Marie. Marie's approaching everyone else. She approaches Marie when Marie clearly doesn't want to be spoken to and is just like, look, suck it up. You're going in. Like, this is the elimination. Like, you just have to do it. I've won a challenge. I don't know if you know. And eliminations are a part of it. So just put on your panties and let's go.
Oh, my God. That was unbelievable.
I just felt it in my soul.
You just became overcome with Ashley.
And then Sylvia really pisses me off. I think she's the worst. So I'll agree with you. Not only because of the headbutting, but because her just like, I don't want to talk about the game is like the worst, worst thing you can do to somebody who used to be in your alliance. Yeah. Like, clearly you don't want to talk about the game because I'm going in and you don't have the courage to at least say it to my face.
Right.
So yeah, once you know, once Kara's got pizza going, you know, things are going to pop off.
Yeah. And there's nothing better than when someone is yelling at someone to stop freaking out at their top of their lungs as they are freaking the hell out, which Sylvia did to a T.
I mean, some people were surprised to see this from Sylvia. If anybody watched, what was it? Damages, real world, damaged goods.
Skeletons?
Skeletons, fine. Like, I remember that whole season being absolutely full of lunatics. But I feel like Violetta was like the standout lunatic from that season to overshadow Sylvia. So, like, I always knew she had it in her, but this was terrifying.
Yeah, and her logic made no sense. She was like, no one else is freaking out besides you, Marie. Why are you freaking out? Because she's the one going in. And like, why would anyone else in the laboratories be freaking out? They're safe. She's the one going in.
I mean, she literally was just dead in the eyes, screaming, I give zero Fs. And a lot of people say that. I think it's a very overused phrase. I've never once before believed, before I watched this today, that somebody literally had nothing to lose. Like, she gave zero Fs, and I thought she was going to bite her in the face, not headbutt her. Like, I was just like, Sylvia could just, like, eat a baby duck right now. And I'm like, I'm trying to think of something crazy. Like, Ozzy Osbourne bite a head off a bat. Like,
Mad lib of an insult. Like, I don't know what two words are about to come out of your mouth when you're trying to come with an adjective and a noun and you landed on that.
Jonathan Foreman, who will be joining you on the podcast next week while I study for an accounting midterm, talk about bad decisions. He wants to know, have you ever said that one of your good friends has seven personalities?
No, but also, I think you can be friends with Marie and also recognize her seven personalities. So I don't think that's even an insult. I think Marie would even recognize she probably has seven personalities.
I mean, first of all, I'd have to have friends to answer this question, Jonathan. But I think that I have recognized this. I don't know if it was earlier this season or last season on the podcast that I am Marie. And I think that's why I've like been a Marie defender and also critical because I see myself in Marie. I see Marie in myself. I don't know who's like, I'm not famous. Like, I don't know who, whatever the me being less than her is.
Right.
But I was truly blown away when I got a tweet from Marie last week. Did you see this tweet?
I did see this tweet. I was just waiting for you to dig it up and read it.
So it was a pure plug for her recaps, and we'll talk about them. And I sincerely doubt that she listens to the podcast. However, she said, I love your recap. Shane put me on. P.S. I do a Betches Love This recap every week. That probably explains the vote a lot more. Also, kind of feel like you two are a Betch in the nicest possible, in the nicest way possible, and may enjoy the humor. And to which I responded, which only three people probably listening will even know this. If your mom was still listening to the podcast, she would get this, Brian, but I know she's not. The candy gift from Real Housewives of Atlanta, where she says to Nene, we see each other. I feel like I have now been seen by Marie in the way that I have been saying. And I don't know if that's terrifying, just like the Shane response. I don't know if I'm terrified or like blown away.
The two best friends that anyone could have.
We see each other. That's the only thing I can say. We see each other. But she doesn't really see this.
This is like your coming to Jesus moment at the nomination ceremony, like Cara Murray. The tears are flowing.
This is a huge segue, and I know you're trying to get back on track, and now I'm just with abandon, whatever. It is cool. Like, as much as like I'm jaded and I hate the podcast, I hate everything, it is very cool to have like Shane from Road Rules, which I watched, and Marie from Real World St. Thomas, which I watched, to like even pretend to be listening to this. Like, and just like a part of me is like, oh, that is cool. Like, I feel like a young podcaster again.
Aw.
For Red 2 seconds, and then I bitch about it.
Before you and get before the scorn of the internet commenters comes rips away your soul.
It's not the internet commenters. It's everything.
It's just the internet.
No, it's everything. It's the obligation. Okay. It's the watching the show. It's everything. Anyway, all right, let's see. But cool.
But back to Sylvia for a quick second. So her headbutting Marie. Any thought of her being taken out?
Yeah, that's an important question. So we got that question from Warwickery on Twitter. How does a headbutt get to stay, but a push doesn't? Roll eyes, semi-frowned emoji. This didn't feel physical to me. I know that's crazy, but like I felt like a Marie at this point was trying to get physical, and you know, Polly and Cara and Marie, whatever. Everyone speculates that this was her strategy smartly to like try to get Sylvia to do something so she didn't have to go to elimination. It didn't really make me feel like this was like a full contact hit. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I would have loved to believe that this was Marie's strategy. I think that's like revisionist history trying to give her credit for something that just happened. Like if there was a cut to her in a confessional or even at the house being like, oh, I'm going to go get Sylvia to go hit me. That's literally the only way I think I would actually believe that wasn't just her being very upset in the moment and her and Sylvia's tempers just flaring off and it leading to this. I just don't believe that. And I do agree about there's a sense of violence and a sense of nonviolence, and this more leaned towards the nonviolence, but that also doesn't necessarily stop MTV before. Like there are other things where it's like, it's clear even after the moment, like they're done, like that the beef is squashed and they can move on and they still send someone home. So, I wouldn't have honestly have been surprised if they remove Sylvia just because I feel like they remove people for less. So you never really know with how MTV is going to handle this type of stuff.
Yeah, I think part of it is like Marie didn't seem injured at all. Like, I don't know how much, like, yes, she hit her, but I don't know like how much it was actually like force. But yeah, you're right. They could have sent her home. They probably should have sent her home. But they didn't. It's MTV. Marie said in her Betches Love This recap, seeing this footage makes me understand why it didn't happen. I was clearly an antagonist in the situation, and the headbutt, while a great throwback WWE move, really was weak AF. And I wrote my thoughts on the episode before reading this, and I'm jumping ahead because in the world where like I am Marie and she is me, I am no longer going to be able to read her recaps because I'm going to say many of the same things. I don't want to get accused of like stealing her recaps.
It's stealing Marie's brain. Now that's a accusation I didn't think anyone would ever levy on someone.
Kayla tweeted, because if you'll recall, Kayla got sent home for pushing Mel. I mean, who even remembers?
Right.
But Challenge T911 said, Shane said the only reason you got to sent home was because you were persistent in requesting lawyers. Can you just confirm or deny this? And Kayla wrote, I never effing asked for a lawyer, not even once. Shane was in the house. He wasn't with me. I don't know where he got this info, but it's false. Shane responded, Kayla, not trying to cause drama, but the next day, which, you know, is about to be a drama causer. But the next day you did ask to talk to Justin and they pulled you away from me, which I assumed was to talk to him. Male shrug emoji. I could be wrong / right, but that's what I remember. I've never seen someone write like, I could be right.
Those are two great qualifiers, two like the perfect qualifiers that like you just say to say, but your real meaning is everything in between, where it's like not trying to start drama and I could be wrong. That means nothing. Everything in between is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, I like no, but I like I could be right, not causing to not trying to cause drama, but I could be right.
Yeah,
that's my new motto. That's excellent. Kayla responded, he had to talk to both of us as procedure of getting kicked off. I never asked for him. He was there doing his job. Now, Jason or Justin, who I assume is a lawyer for the challenge, please consider this my formal job application. If I could just go into hotel rooms after people have been kicked off MTV, just like make sure that they're like willingly leaving. I mean, I'll throw it all away right now.
Yeah, that's
not, actually true. It's not actually true, but you know, hit me up on LinkedIn, Justin.
Yeah, that. So that's like a dream career. Talking MTV people off the ledge from suing.
That would definitely get us down to the needy greedy.
Yeah.
The needy greedy.
Oh, Nelson. Oh, he's the best.
So yeah, not much to talk about with the vote. Everyone's voting for Marie and Kara. Banani, see, I'm taking everything from Marie now. Tony and Bananas are voting for who? Hunter and Ashley.
Yeah.
I thought at this point I was going to ask you, should Marie and Kara have been doing more work to try to stay in the house? But I'm going to kick that question and insert Clayton's Odell's question, which is there any reason that Joss and Sylvia would want to protect Corey and Devin? Aren't those two a bigger threat to Josh and Sylvia than Kara and Marie? Are Josh and Sylvia doing the wrong thing here by going along with this?
So why just Josh and Sylvia? Because they're not
TYB.
No connection to Team Young Buck. I guess so. So, but I mean, how would they have? So they would have really gone against like the entire alliance just to save Marie. That doesn't seem like a very smart move.
I agree. That's why I think it should be Marie and Kara's fault. But like, is there anything they could have done? Like, you can say like, look, Bananas, you're safe. So we're going to throw you under the bus. We're going to make every deal we can just for this week to survive this week and see what we can do. Could they have done anything and just like made a play knowing that he was safe or no?
I mean, this really wouldn't even like, this would still guarantee them being in elimination, but the one thing they could have done was try to like persuade one of the people to not vote, one of the Lavender Lady crew to not vote for them, so that way they can get it to a tie, like with Bananas and Tony's power vote and them. Right. So like, then they would still go in because whoever would go in has to pick Kara and Marie anyway. So it doesn't really matter. They really have to sway two votes to really have any sense. And even then, like there's really no scenario where Kara and Marie don't go in. They're getting voted in, or whoever goes in is going to pick them. So there's really not much they could have done.
And Marie said in a recap that Bananas and Tony voted for Ashley and Hunter in an attempt to leave room for Marie to try to sway Sylvia and Joss to like regroup and take advantage of the new numbers. That's a quote from her. Apparently they had like a very fresh alliance from last season going in. But the way it played out, like she never even got to talk to her about it. And I don't think that was a great strategy.
The one thing I'm surprised about, and maybe someone they did talk it a little bit amongst themselves, is I'm surprised not one of the Lavender Ladies, we got a sense of, do they do a burn vote so they can't be tossed back in by Kara and Murray?
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing. I think they really are just, it's like the Scouts honor thing. They're so tight that they'd be, no one wants to be the next hit, right? Because they must be thinking that, okay, at some point they're going to have to turn on each other, and you don't want to give anyone a reason to put you in, right?
But so shouldn't Corey and Devin have been that team? Like, they have no loyalty to the Lavender Ladies. Like, they, why would they risk themselves? They just got in the game. Save yourself for this week.
Maybe that's the thought. Maybe they think there's absolutely no chance. I mean, they say that at the end of the beginning of this episode, which I thought was ridiculous, that like no one will want to see them after the shake and bake elimination.
Yeah.
And maybe they just thought there's absolutely no way that Marie and Kara would pick them, which I think is a right read. And they might as well not make waves and show loyalty in the house.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I was just surprised we didn't get any sense of anyone talking about the possibility of it.
No, that did seem to be missing, especially with this season of burn votes.
Yep.
So you bought into the Kara crying with Marie moment.
I did. I thought it was the type of thing that'd be weird to just like kind of fake in the moment. Like, that seemed like, it did generally seem like Kara got caught up like the moment of like, oh, I do kind of like feel bad for this girl. But even when she was like trying to like be nice to her, she was also kind of insulting her. She was like, you know, you had your one friend and they like turned her back on her, which I don't think she meant as like an insult. But like, I was like cracking up when she said it because I read it as an insult. But so I kind of just got the sense that she kind of got a little caught up in the moment.
I think I'm just too in tune with Kara's social media confessionals and blogs and all that other bullshit that like reveal that this was bullshit. And not bullshit. I just don't think it lasted, right? Like, this to me did not seem like a full reckoning. Like, the way that Brad and Kyle won't be rivals again, the way that, I mean, Bananas and Tony, like the people have really, Nelson and Shane, like the people have really repaired the relationship. Like, I still think there's tension with Kara and Marie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even disagree. I just think in that moment, I think she kind of got caught up. Like, oh, yeah, I guess we're together. We were in this together. We've been through so much this season. And just kind of like a little heartfelt.
You know, I didn't mean to say like it was fake. So it's real. Like, I know I said you bought into it. Like, it's real. I just don't think it's lasting.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I agree.
All right. Let's talk about this Armageddon. I think if this episode ended with the actual Armageddon and we saw the elimination, it would be a top tier episode like last week. Also, I think it really let me down that this we didn't get to see this play out.
Yeah, but we got it last week. So what are the odds MTV gives us back to back closure episodes? So I was prepared for it. I was just worried we weren't even going to get the decision. I was kind of surprised we even got Kara and Marie voted in.
Do you think it was the right play to call in Shane and Nelson?
I don't, I guess I do. First of all, is Nelson really 8-1 in eliminations? That cannot be right, is it?
Yeah, I mean, nobody tweeted at me that it was wrong.
That was wild. But I mean, like we keep saying, there's no real easy layup. Like, I mean, are Joss and Sylvia that much easier, or Hunter and Ashley that much easier, Derek and Devin and Corey. So I don't know. Kind of like the logic, you go after Shane, who is kind of seems to be like the head of the snake. I don't hate it because I just don't think there's like a clear, easy out.
I also didn't think this was necessarily petty. Like, I think the petty move would have been Sylvia. The only potential reason to keep Shane is that he does seem like to be, we know that he's not willing to work with her. If they're really in an alliance and this is sort of just because there's nobody else to put out, maybe if she can get rid of one of the other Lavender Ladies, she has a better chance of reconciling with Shane than she does Sylvia. But I do think the head of the snake is, and the head of TYB is a better move.
Yeah, no, I think it does make a lot of sense. I really do.
Jacob Brabant says, does Nelson realize that Kara has the most elimination wins of any challenger besides Wes?
I bet he probably does know that, honestly.
Is the logic that if he could track his stats, he could track he's that big a fan to track his own stats?
He would collect the challenge baseball cards if he could, as I probably would also. But
Autumn Matthews says, who do we think Devin actually wants to work with when it comes down to the needy greedy? He just got lumped into TYB because of Corey, and I can't imagine him wanting to stay loyal to Shane and Nelson.
I think he would probably stick with them for the season, right? I don't think he really has any other true loyalties to anyone. So I think he's along for the ride with Team Young Buck.
Yeah, why not? He's definitely more of a rival with Bananas. And I feel like he's tried to get TYB on his side before, and it's failed. Yeah. So yeah. I feel like he's in the market for new friends. Jason Oryx says, can we create a counter Lavender Ladies Alliance for next season? I'm thinking Killicam, Tori, Devon, and others. Thoughts?
Sure. We just need to come up with a color. What other color?
Yeah, I don't know. But I like that alliance. Tori, Cam, Devon. We could probably throw Kara into that.
Sure. Give Kara some friends.
Cam was close to the Lavender. Like, I need to make a web of, like, the female alliances and relationships in the house. It seems to waver based on who rooms with who which season.
Yeah, and then it also depends on who's, like, hooking up with who. That adds people to the mix. Who just broke up with who. That removes people from the mix. So it's in flux.
All right. I have some Twitter stuff. And let's see. So Reality Reacts tagged us in this to make sure we saw it. So thank you so much. Cara Maria tweeted a girl raising her hand emoji, ... I mean, when I have a good looking male model on an iPhone, I clearly kill it. Ahem, at Pauly Califiore. And it's like a silhouette photo of him shirtless in a window. And Leroy retweets it and just writes, please stop.
Leroy speaking the truth.
Shady Shane said, who remembers when no one was allowed to rest, but production pulled Johnny back on the building and let him catch his breath for 10 minutes? Man shrugging emoji, but production doesn't play favorites, right? Oh, me. Hand up emoji, hand up emoji, hand up emoji.
So, like, during the puzzle, he was resting? Didn't everyone rest?
It's maybe that they, like, paused the time so that he could catch his breath for 10 minutes and then descend down the part of it. I mean, I don't think that they would, like, if they had rested for 10 minutes, I don't think they still would have won.
Yeah, I don't know. That seems a little fishy.
I do notice that, like, Shane and Marie are just reckless with calling out production this season. So is Kara. So, like, I guess they just are fearless about not being invited back. Like,
right.
Jemmy tweeted, them screaming TYB 24/7 is like the DJ constantly talking during your favorite song.
I guess so.
And then she tweeted like a meme that said, you have to stop doing that.
That I agree with.
All right. So I talked a lot. I don't have a game this week. There wasn't like that, you know, that inspired me from the material. The material didn't really inspire me this week. I did pull just like a couple funny lines. So Pauly's big opener this week was, another week means another Raw recap from your new favorite challenger. It's all Raw for him. And then Kara from People said, TYB, more affectionately known as Thank You Bananas for the storylines.
Ooh, good one.
Hater. Michael Rodriguez, this is what my transition was going to be to talking about Marie's tweet, but I went out of order. Michael Rodriguez says, am I going crazy for liking Marie now? I feel like you're the person to ask, Brian, because you're the known Marie hater.
Yeah, no, she's been good this season. She's been fine. I don't think I'm clamoring for more Marie. I feel like we've pretty come close to maxing out our Marie intake. So this was her swan song. I think she went out on a medium note.
And then I pulled three quotes from Marie's Betches recap. And I will say, I did look at it, her last week one, and it was like really hilarious, like legitimately hilarious. I wanted to hate it. Like, I wanted to come in and be like, oh, you think I like this? It's trash. It was really good. This week, I was more skimming it for material, so I didn't really enjoy it as much, but that was probably the context. And I will never look at it again, because I just can't have the podcast being me being like, Marie said, Marie said, Marie said. So these will be my last three lines from Marie. She used don't at me, not that I invented that, but if I need any more evidence, she said, I'm an emotional drunk, kidding, I'm always emotional. I'm gonna put that on I was gonna say a chalice to drink with. I don't know why I said chalice. I'm gonna put it on a poster. Okay, and then this is, I just thought it very funny and also gives some context. to the nights out where I guess Marie, you have to go out. So she said, I've known where I stood with this group all along. I'm just in a dark, angry place right now as production forces me to get dressed for a night out. The bar is completely empty because we're not allowed to speak to strangers. And it's just adding insult to injury as I have to listen to TYB chants after every fruity shot of triple sec they take. Like, can you even triple sec?
Oh, man. They used to deal with strangers. And that's a bummer. They don't let them do that anymore.
I mean, the least surprising thing besides the fact that they're forced, I mean, like, we get two pieces of what I think is obvious information because we never see them interacting with people. That's one. And two, that they're forced to go out. Actually, the least surprising thing is that TYB takes shots of triple sec.
Yeah, that's right up their alley.
So maybe we reform the drinking game. You take a shot of triple sec when you feel like it.
Oh, God,
which is
no.
Never.
That's going to kill the drinking game.
All right, well, let's kill this podcast. That's all I have. I thought last week was one of our best episodes. 0 5-star reviews. So what are you going to do?
Womp, womp, womp.
Everyone sucks but me.
If you want to leave a 5-star review, go to robswebsite.com/challengeiTunes. Or you can follow me on Twitter @ColinBryan_. And they can follow you.
@LastTweets.
We'll be back. Well, I'll be back next week with Jonathan Foreman. And then maybe finale might be close. I don't know. Until then. Have a good one.